Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's a film being called a masterpiece as soon as it's released. Loving Vincent is the story of the death, but more importantly, the life of artist Vincent van Gogh. It's the world's first oil-painted film. More than 125 professional oil painters created 65,000 individually painted frames for animation. Nothing you see in the film is computer generated. You can see it in South Dakota. The Matthews Opera House in Spearfish shows it this weekend, November 17th through the 19th, and at the Washington Pavilion Belbus Theater on Sunday, December 3rd, Cinema Falls brings Loving Vincent to the state as well. The movie is a mystery, and it's a revelation. Hugh Welshman is the co-writer, co-director, and producer of Loving Vincent. He joins us on the phone now from Manchester in the United Kingdom. Hugh, welcome.
Hi, nice to be in South Dakota for your morning, yes?
Welcome to South Dakota. Did you know where South Dakota was before the film came here?
No, I knew a general area that it was in the middle, but I thought it was further south. I thought it was closer to Kansas, so I was corrected when I looked at the map today. And I'm very happy that Loving Vincent's made it to South Dakota. It's very exciting for us.
As are we. The buzz around this movie is pretty exciting, so it's a thrill for us to get it here on both sides of our expansive state. This is a love story for you personally, because this is how you met your wife. Tell me a little bit about your partner here in this film and how you sort of came upon this project.
Well, you know, I fell in love with Dorota Kobiela, who came up with the idea, and you know, she was writing and directing a short film, Loving Vincent, and yeah, we fell in love, we got married, and you know, by the time we got married, I'd also fallen in love with her film project, because I thought what she was doing looked like nothing I'd seen before. Unlike Dorota, because Dorota first read the letters of Vincent van Gogh when she was 15, and she first visited the museum when she was 16, and she started painting from when she was a teenager. So she was very familiar with the story of Vincent van Gogh, and it was natural for her to choose him as a subject matter. But I was 33, and I knew just the basics about him, that, you know, he cut off his ear. He'd gone mad, and that he did these amazing, colorful paintings. And I could probably have named you a couple, like Starry Night and The Sunflowers. And then I realized there's just so much more to his story. It's just a very inspiring story. And so once I became involved, then I persuaded her that we should do it as a feature film rather than a short film, which meant that it had the possibility of traveling around the world. But I have to say, I didn't ever think it was going to travel, you know, all the way to the South Dakota. So, you know, it's gone far beyond what I expected of it.
There are moments when you watch this where you are deeply rewarded for any knowledge of his paintings that you already brought to the table, and then that knowledge is expanded. I remember sort of gasping at the moment where the crows fly out of the wheat field, because you recognize that iconic painting of wheat filled with crows. Tell me a little bit, though, about how you began with a painting such as that, and then had to imagine, how does this scene fit into the story that we're trying to tell?
Well, the story kind of happened organically, because the very first idea was to bring Vincent's paintings to life, to tell his story. And Dorota always, from the short film idea, wanted to concentrate on his final 10 weeks in Auvers. So that means that, you know, we were dealing with the portraits of the people that he painted in the final 10 weeks of his life, like Dr. Gachet, who was meant to be looking after him at the end of his life, and Adeline Raveau, who was the daughter of the innkeeper where he was staying and where he actually died. And once we were looking into these historical people, because, you know, they're real people in history, researching what they said about Vincent, there were contradictions between what they said. So, what they said and what Vincent said in his letters was all contradicting each other. So we had to be kind of detectives from the beginning and try and work out who was telling the truth, you know, who was lying and who was maybe misremembering it, or who was hiding some kind of dark secret. So we started looking into it, and this gave us quite quickly this conflictual story. So it's like a detective story of what really happened to Vincent and what was really going through his mind in the final weeks, and what happened to him on his final day. And so we were looking at all the paintings, and we visited all there several times, and we went to Wheatfield with Crow, where Wheatfield with Crows was painted. We went to Chaponval. We went to all of these locations, and we started to get a sense of where Vincent was hanging out in his final weeks. And so really it was, you know, Vincent's own paintings, his own letters, which was, you know, telling his brother where he was painting, and also what the people that he painted were saying about him, both during his final weeks and also, you know, after his death, sometimes many years after his death, the story came out of.
And you create for yourself, or you set into motion your own hero, this you know, who comes from a portrait. You do not know much about him as a historical character, so you kind of give him a story of your own. Tell me about Armand.
Well, the attractive thing about Armand was, one, he was attractive. I mean, it's just a you know, he's a very handsome young man, and it's one of Vincent's best portraits. It's a gorgeous portrait. You know, the second thing was nothing's written about him in history, and we had to be careful what we wrote about Vincent, because, you know, there's a whole museum dedicated to him with academics and researchers working there, and, you know, we work with the museum, you know, Dr. Gachet, there's quite a lot written about him in the historical record, and Père Tanguy, and even Armand's father, there's Vincent writes about his personality, whereas Armand was like a blank sheet for us. You know, we could write him in a way that suited our detective story, and what we knew that we needed was, we needed an outsider to come into Auvers, because, you know, it's like a village where there are kind of different alliances, and there's village gossip, and there's resentments between the people in the village, and you know, they're telling different stories about Vincent, and we needed an outsider to come in and try and work out what really happened. And all we know about Armand is that as a teenager he was a blacksmith, and then later in life he was a policeman. And so he seemed like a good character to be the investigator. And also we could imbue him with his own story of maybe how, you know, he decides to do something more meaningful with his life and find some direction, because, you know, he's a bit of a hard-drinking, hard-fighting young man when we meet him, and definitely hasn't really found his place in the world.
Hmm. As I'm watching this, I keep thinking this story could not be told any other way. I have a deep sense as a viewer, as a lover of art, that a deep sense of gratitude. Did this at some point, in spite of all the challenges and really the epic amount of work that went into this, did it have a feeling of inevitability, in the sense that you were doing something that really simply had to be done for you and Dorota?
Well, Laurie, I wish that, you know, all the people we'd approached about financing over 7 years thought the way you did. Because very often, you know, we would go in for meetings and they would say, why don't you just do it in the computer? And we'd say, well, you know,
no.
Vincent painted oil on canvas, and this is going to look like Vincent's paintings, because we're going to oil painting animate on canvas. And absolutely, I mean, that was just something we never compromised on. And so many professionals in the industry, you know, said it was impossible, or said to us, you know, it's going to take you 10 years to do the painting. And even though we were working on it for a while, the painting process was the final 2 years of it. And a much longer process was working out the story, and also, you know, finding the painters, and more, you know, more difficult, most difficult was finding the money, because, you know, people didn't really believe that this could be done. And we were really saved by the public at large on three occasions for this film. So, you know, and I think the final stage of that is happening right now, which is that, you know, people are going to see it in the cinemas. We don't really have an advertising budget, and it's a small film compared to, you know, the big American blockbusters that are out there. But you know, people online are talking about it, and it's the third instance that we were saved. The second instance was, you know, we nearly went down on this project like 3 years ago, and we just couldn't find the financing for it. And we were actually had an advert on our website for painters, and we just didn't have enough painters applying. So we had this advert on our, which had some footage from our film. And one of the fans of one of the actors, actually one of Douglas Booth's fans, the Armand Renault actor, put it onto their Facebook. And within 24 hours, there was 2 million views. And within 3 months, there were 200 million views. And it was only because of that power of everyone around the world looking at it. And by the way, half of those people were in America, that we eventually closed the financing on the film.
Wow.
So, yeah, for us, it was always inevitable, but it seemed like, you know, the artists believed in it, the actors believed in it, and the public at large, you know, kind of through social media was believing it and wanting it to happen. But it was a tough ride. I mean, you know, we were pretty much on the edge of our seat for every month and for about 4 years.
I think it says something about what the world needs now, what people are yearning for, what we need now in the arts. It's hard to have something that pushes an art forward when so much has already been done. But this really does that. What are other animators saying about the film now that it's been released? What are you hearing from those people?
In the animation festivals that we've been in, I think we've won 8 audience awards out of 9 that we've been up for. It's popular with audiences at festivals, and quite a few of those were animation festivals. We live in northern Poland, so we're not so connected really with for example, the animation industry on the West Coast in the US, or even so much in other countries. But I know that, for example, in the UK, Bristol and Dublin, which are two very big animation cities, have been our best cities. So I don't know whether it's animation students or animation professionals, but I think I gave a lecture at my film school to animators yesterday, and they seem to like the film. So I think they're appreciative of the work, and sometimes a little bit in awe of the work. not in terms of how good the film is, but just they, you know, if they know how much work must have gone into making this film, and just still, I think it kind of boggles the minds of professional animators that we actually did it, you know. Because it is the slowest form of filmmaking that's been invented so far. But, you know, we always thought it was worth it because, like you said, it just seems to fit with the subject matter, which is bringing Vincent's paintings to life. So it seemed worth all that effort.
Right. And a deeply human story, beyond all the work that goes into it, the story and the mystery of it that pulls you through, and the performances by the actors, quite outstanding as well. The entire thing is astonishingly beautiful. So thank you for bringing it to South Dakota. Thank you for being with us here today. In just about our last 30 seconds, I'm curious how you and Dorota sort of changed as artists after spending so much time working with the painters, working with the actors, all these different art forms, and working with the life of one of our great artists. How did it transform you?
Well, I think, you know, for me, it definitely gave me more confidence in what I do, and also to think that what I do as a filmmaker actually matters or can matter. You know, I think growing up in Britain and the background that I come from, I kind of always thought, well, you know, film's really entertainment and it's kind of a luxury for people. And if you study Vincent's life, And if you see just the profound effect that he has on people's life, you know, maybe I know a lot of people who I've met during the past 5 years who were suffering from mental illness at some point in their life, or suffering from depression, and connecting with Vincent's work and his letters really gave them, you know, hope and a new lease of life. And I think he really inspires artists. Yeah.
We're going to run out of time, but thank you so much for being here. The film is called Loving Vincent. You can see it in Spearfish at the Matthews Opera House this weekend, November 17th. Hugh, thank you.